Welcome to TJ Slideways Live, courtesy of racesontheweb.com. Here is your host, TJ Buffenbarger.
Thank you, Beth. Coming here live from the Engine Pro Studios just outside of Grand Rapids, Michigan. All of our guests today on the Rocket Sayers Hotline you can interact with via our Twitter account at TJ Slideways, also TJ at TJSlideways.com, via email. Later in the program, we're going to have Derek Hager on to talk about his season and also recap of last Saturday at Crystal Motor Speedway. But my first guest is getting ready to head out to Nebraska and such to do some USAC racing this weekend. He is rising right up the win list, just a few behind Tom Bigelow for the all-time USAC National Sprint Car Series victories in the history of the series. And Dave Darlin, that's quite a group of people that you're starting to be associated now. When you break records, you're starting to break records of people that a lot of people in racing never thought would be broken.
Hello, TJ. How are you guys doing tonight?
Well, we're doing great. You know,
good.
Yeah, you know what's interesting is like I said, some of the people you're starting to be associated with in the record book are Indy 500 people and stuff. Being as active as you are now, do you ever like sit back and think of that, or is that something that's just kind of nice to hear in passing right now? But you're more focused at the task at hand.
Well, if I had more time on my hands, I would like to sit back and think about it, but just it's so busy that I haven't had a whole lot of time to think too much about it. But it is great to be in the company, like you mentioned, approaching. I am in second place by myself right now with 48 wins, and Tom Bigelow is the leader with 52. So closing in on him, and hopefully it happens one of these days. Sooner than later.
I imagine. And you'd managed to knock off one of those wins at Eldora Speedway a couple weeks ago, and it was interesting watching that race with Chase Stockin. It looked like at one point you guys had slid each other a couple times for the lead, and that looked like you kind of just sat back there and waited for the cushion to create the bobble you needed to make that pass for the win. Why don't you take us through that?
Well, you know, the he started on the pole, I believe. I started, I started second or third row. I can't even really remember where I did start, but I did, just got a good start, got up to third on the lap. Actually came in to, I think I ran fourth on the first lap, and then I got by Jerry Coons, I believe, for third on the early there, and then, about three or four laps in, and I was able to get into second place. Well, actually, the Hewitt kid, not sure what his first name is, but that Hewitt kid was running second, and he's the one that crashed on the fourth lap and caused the red. That put me in the second place. And then from then on, I was, right on Chase, and I was able to put a lot of pressure on him for four or five laps. And then I kind of gave him a slide job, but I wasn't really going to slide him. But out of the corner of my eye, I seen him bobble up there on the cushion, and getting into both ends, getting into three and turn one was pretty, rough, tricky up on the, if he was, up on the high side or even like in the middle. So I was basically going in low into each corner and then sliding across and hitting the cushion, halfway through or so. And, but like I said, I just was wanting to put pressure on him, show him I was there a little bit. And then when I got up beside him there, I seen him out of the corner of my eye bobble. So I went ahead and slid him. And then, he got a great off of, his bobble there and was able to get slide me into turn one then. But then he bicycled, and I had to check up, and then there was a lot going on there, all just a couple laps, and then I had to worry about Tracy Hines. He was running third also right behind me, so I was, I certainly didn't want him to get ahead of me at any point because he's awfully tough there at Eldora. So, but then anyway, just a couple laps later, I was able to slide Chase Stockin in for the lead and got the lead that time and held it, and then held on for the win. So it's always great to win a sprint car race at Eldora. That was a great night for me.
And you've had several wins at Eldora, but that was the first for your car owners. And I know that meant a lot for you to get that win for them at Eldora.
It did. They hadn't even won a USAC race until I started driving for them last year. And we had seven USAC wins in last year in five different states. But Eldora wasn't one of them. So, and Ohio, I guess, wasn't one of them either, I don't believe. So that added, just winning at Eldora for them was, a special night, and I was proud of the fact that I was able to get it for them, and we've had a great, short career so far together. We've had some fun and won a lot of races, and lot of success so far with me and the Phillips team.
I was going to ask you, what is it like driving for Steve and Phil, the Phillips family? They are they're great people, but you guys don't have maybe nearly the resources some of the bigger teams, but yeah, it seems like you're always right up at the front. What is it like racing with them, and how important is chemistry like that throughout a season?
Well, it kind of takes me back to my growing up days where I got to drive hard, but I got to drive smart. You know, I can't tear the thing up on a regular basis because they, as you mentioned, they just don't have the resources. They're not very deep. You know, they both just have jobs and try to fund a USAC sprint car team on their little budget. I mean, we have a lot of little sponsors, but we don't have a major sponsor. So, you know, we do appreciate the guys that do help us out tremendously. We couldn't do without any of them, but it does throw another, you know, a factor into our situation where we just don't, we're always skimming by. So, but we gotta do well, but we can't tear things up on the way. So that is something you gotta think about all the time.
And last weekend wasn't exactly a great weekend. You were in both features, but towards the back of those. But now you have a new weekend, and you're going to some different territory. You're getting to go out to Eagle Raceway and also Junction Motor Speedway, which gets you out of the normal USAC circle a little bit. How neat is it to be able to go to some different places every now and then that maybe don't get to see as much non-wing sprint car racing as you guys are blessed with in Indiana?
Well, I do love going to new places, and these two particular places we're talking about this weekend, I've been to a few times. One time with the sprint car at Eagle just a couple of years ago, we ran there. I ran decent there that night. And then McCool Junction, as you mentioned, we've never ran the sprint cars there. I've ran and I've won actually a midget race there before. I've ran midget there two or three or four times probably with a little success. So I do like going to new places. If they're good places, and both those tracks are good racetracks, and so I am looking forward to both them racetracks in Nebraska this weekend.
And you mentioned Junction hasn't had the sprint cars before. Do you think that's going to be a pretty decent place for the sprint cars? I know they have some pretty good midget races there.
Well, it's a pretty good size racetrack. It's a big. I think they call it a half mile, but it's a pretty good size half mile, so it should be good for the midgets. I mean, the sprint cars. I mean, it's a good midget track. It's a little bit big for the midgets, but sprint car track, it should be, you know, good size, and hopefully it turns into something we can race and put on a good show. I know it'll be fast, but hopefully there's more than one groove, and as we both mentioned already, that the sprint cars have never been there, so we don't really know what to expect totally. And I've never been there with a sprint car. I don't know if they've ran wing cars there, I believe, but it's a new venue for us, and we're excited about it. And my Phillips team are looking forward to going this weekend.
What else do you have on your plate right now, Dave? You have the Phillips with the sprint car. I know you've run some different sprint cars locally, and you've been in the RW Midget a little bit. What do you have lined up for the rest of the year?
Yeah, I do have quite a bit of that off and on with different sprint car. I drive a number 41 sprint car for Dave Stensland's his name, up in Fort Wayne, and I drove for him like five or six or seven races last summer, and we won two of them at Gas City, and I've ran this car twice this year so far, and we just kind of struggling getting the bugs worked out of it right now. We were supposed to run it at Terre Haute last night, and it got rained out. So, and the RW Midget, as you mentioned, the 17 RW, I drove it at the Chili Bowl back in January, and then I've drove it twice at the Kokomo Speedway. Had a Grand Prix Midget race a couple of weeks ago, and I ran it there with a little success. I mean, we ran second on the first night and had quick qualifying, quick time qualifying both nights. So, and I'm going to drive it again the next time at the Granite City for the Hutt 100, I believe, coming up in early May, May 9th, I think it is.
So another
Double Crown stuff. I got a little bit of stuff going there too with a dirt car on a full, I'm going to run all the dirt races for a guy over in Dayton, Ohio, near Dayton. His name is Mark Longworth, driving for him for the first time, and we ran Terre Haute for the first time, had a little bit of issues, but it's going to be a good car, a good ride for me, so looking forward to that.
Yeah, another busy year for Dave Darwin, and you got off to an early start in the Victory category. You had quite a bit of success out at Canyon Speedway Park in the Winter Series, and that's kind of turned into a neat little deal the past couple of years, where it seems to be picking up a little bit of momentum and giving you guys a place to race when it's cold around here.
Yeah, it is definitely good to go out there, and that Kevin Montgomery is the promoter out there at that speedway, and he's brought that thing from, you know, like a 2 on the chart to it's up to about a 6 or 7 category now. I mean, he's made a lot of improvements, and the racetrack's getting better. But it is nice to go to Phoenix in February when it's cold in Indiana. So, and as you mentioned, I did drive Casey Minx's cars, who I drove for out there from Texas, and I'd never driven for him before, and you know, we instantly hit it off pretty nice, and we won 3 of the 5 nights out there. So, and it's always good to stay in shape, driving race cars through the winter, and so it did me, you know, a lot of good in a lot of categories.
And you've been a guy who's gotten a lot of callbacks for rides. I like to say you might split up and do something else for a while, and then you come back to drive for someone. When you're in this business, how do you approach that to where you don't burn that bridge, especially when you're when you go through a long season, like someone, like when you do a whole season with someone on the USAC tour? How do you make that exit gracefully in a manner to where you can come back?
Well, just don't throw too many cuss words out when you leave. No, it's been, as you mentioned, I've driven sprint cars for like 31. This is my 31st, 32nd year of driving sprint cars. I mean, I've been around the block a time or two, and and I have driven, like Jeff Walker, I've only driven his car 3 years. I mean, he's the only one I've ever driven for in 3 years out of the last like 15. I've driven for different teams, and I don't really know why. It's not something I plan on. It's not something I even want to do. I would love to find a good funded team and stick with them. I mean, the Phillips' team's going good for me now, and I wish that we could land a nice sponsor there and stay put there for, you know, 10 or 15 years or so, but I don't know. And Silver Crown wise, that did happen for me with, you know, Galen Fox. I drove his car for 18 years and had a lot of success. And we had, you know, we became great friends, and I wish that would happen with the sprint car. It just hasn't yet. But hopefully I found a home here with the Phillipses, and hopefully I'm there for a long time.
Dave Darwin joining us.
Yeah. It is tough to drive for somebody and then, you know, and then split up. And then as you mentioned, I've been back with a lot of them teams after we split up at some point. So just try not to burn any bridges, and because there's not a lot of car owners out there, I don't want to make them all mad.
Yeah, that's for sure. Dave Darwin joining us on the line, the people's champ. Now, your hometown track, Kokomo Speedway, there's Old Kokomo and New Kokomo. And you can kind of go back and forth. A lot of the people that had gone to Kokomo for years, I loved the Old Kokomo as well. I even liked the New Kokomo. What do you think that the new track brings that maybe the driver-wise that you don't get out of the old track? Because it seems like the old track used to kind of I don't know if it's necessarily harder to get around, but it was different. Different gear around. It seems like the veteran guys could get around there, but you see more exciting racing on the new track. So for you, you know, what did the track revamp take away from you? But at the same time, what did you gain from the track revamp?
Well, it is you know, it's a night and day situation where the old track was, you know, you had the tippy toe on a little thin cushion that didn't support you a lot. I mean, and the bottom was slick, and you had to dodge the tires a little bit, but you know, you had to do all that on certain occasions for, you know, whatever the track offered that night. But the new track is, you know, just a super fast. I mean, it's high speed, and you know, there's a couple tricky spots come off turn 4 because you really carry a lot of momentum into turn 3, and then you don't lift a lot of times till you get like to the center or even farther over the turn 4 area to, you know, because you just, the track gets tight right there coming off, and that's where you got to start backpedaling and make some decisions. So, it's a great racetrack. I love the new racetrack. I do like the old racetrack too. I wish that they could have built the new one beside the old one and kept both of them, but that just wasn't a possibility. But the O'Connors that own the racetrack now have done a great job. I love the new Kokomo Speedway, and that is one of my favorite places. So I do commend them. You know, they did a great job, made a really great racetrack there. And if you haven't seen it, anybody that's listening, you need to see it. It's a great place.
Yeah, I guarantee you. If you always hear people talk about Iowa Sprint Car Racing. If you really want to go see it, if you're from out of town, definitely hit up Kokomo. It's pretty much the textbook example of how great the racing is. Another track revamp that just happened recently, they took the inside guardrail of the Angel Park Speedway, and they're widening it a bit for some other cars they want to bring in. How do you think that's going to affect the racing at Angel Park?
Well, it certainly will. The inside guardrail that was always there, and I haven't been there since, so I don't know for a fact yet, but it certainly has to change it. I don't know what they've done to mark the infield at this point. But the old guardrail, I mean, I ran into that thing. I mean, you'd bounce off of it if you had to run the bottom at that track. I mean, you was always, at some point, you was rubbing against the inside rail. I mean, you was getting as low as you possibly could, and it does have to change the way you drive the place. And like I said, I haven't seen it yet, so I'll have to learn that when I get there. But it will certainly be different.
Dave Darwin joining us on the line. And, Dave, you mentioned you're getting into 32 years of racing, and you've done this for quite a while. So what's still fun about it for you? I mean, it is your profession. So at the end of the day, it is a job. It is where you punch in. But at the same time, it is an enjoyable profession at times. What is still enjoyable about motorsports, even across the other divisions for you?
Yeah, I certainly wouldn't trade my job in for many others. I do love my job. I love driving sprint cars and midgets and Silver Crown cars, but, you know, just what keeps me coming back, you know, just the love, the joy of doing it. You know, and I haven't won as many sprint car races as Tom Bigelow has yet. So I got to keep going.
He's got a carrot still out there and a lot of other ones too.
Yeah. And as you mentioned before, that, in quite a category of drivers there. And, you know, when I had to tie Jack Hewitt, was in second place, and I tied him for, you know, the number that he had. So, you know, to be in that category of, you know, being ahead of Jack Hewitt now, and, you know, guys like, you know, Rich Vogler and Steve Butler and Robbie Stanley is who I was thinking of. And I mean, there's been a lot of, you know, even Poncho Carter and Larry Dixon and them guys back in the day, Bentonhausens. I mean, it's just a great, there was just a great number of guys there that I've been able to pass in that category. And it's just an amazing for me to be able to sit here and mention those guys' names. I've won more races than they have now. I mean, it's like you said, when I haven't had time to sit back and think about it, but when I do mention those guys' names and say I've won more races than they have, it blows my mind even.
Dave,
it's great.
Dave Darwin, who definitely appreciates everything he's ever gotten out of motorsports and one of the good guys in our sport. And Nebraska race fans, you'll be able to see him this weekend at the Eagle Raceway and over at McCool Junction. And I'm sure Dave will have a T-shirt or two that you can pick up. And you're not through Nebraska all that often, so those fans are going to want to make sure to pick one up while they're going through there, because unless you're coming to Indiana, you're not going to see him as often.
Yeah, we certainly do have a couple of different T-shirt designs that we'll have with us on that tour. And just to like to invite everybody out to see it. There's going to be some good racing. And USAC does have a great crop of talented young race car drivers right now. And hopefully we can beat them all that weekend.
Well, Dave,
looking forward to it.
Yeah, I really appreciate
it. It's going to be some good racing.
Yeah, I really appreciate you taking time out to join us tonight. And best of luck out to Nebraska. Have safe travels. And we'll cross paths here in a few weeks, I'm sure.
You're welcome, and thank you, and enjoy the race and wherever you're at.
All righty. Dave Darwin joining us on the line. When we come back, we're going to have Derek Hagar. We're going to break down Crystal Motor Speedway on Saturday night. You're listening to TJ Slideways Live here on RacesOnTheWeb.com.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at engineproparts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
If you're looking to add a little edge to your racing program, repair your engine, maybe even look into a new engine, Bailey Racing Engines of Coldwater, Michigan is a fine supporter of TJSlideways.com. Visit them online at BaileyEngines.com or call them at 517-278-8488.
Tired of having black headers that rust and wear out too quickly? Then you need to get some Rocket Headers. Rocket Header produces exhaust for 360 and 410 sprint car engines, dirt and pavement, with mufflers and turnouts. Stainless steel construction, TIG welding, and polished finish make Rocket Headers the best value in the open wheel racing exhaust market. For more information on where to buy Rocket Headers, visit their official website at rocketheaders.com.
All-Star Performance is a manufacturer and supplier of racing and high-performance auto parts, accessories, and specialty tools. From quarter midgets to sprint cars, All-Star Performance has all of the accessories you need. To find a dealer near you, visit allstarperformance.com.
TJ Buffenbarger here for the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa. The Hall of Fame continues to promote the future of sprint car racing by preserving its past. The museum is located in Knoxville, Iowa, and is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. On race nights, the museum will stay open until 7 o'clock. Don't forget, race fans, one of the best ways that you can support the Hall of Fame is buying a membership. They start at just $25, and a basic membership gets you and a guest free admission to the museum and a 10% discount off in the museum store. Also, check with the Hall of Fame for suite tickets on the second and third floor for the 2013 Knoxville season. You can get information on all of this by going to SprintCarHOF.com, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame.
Blade Shock Technology is a cutting-edge shock bump stop technology company located in Northwest Ohio. Specializing in sprint car racing, new and used sales, service, and repair, Eric Slade and his crew have over 30 years' experience working with shocks, from the short tracks to the super speedways. For more information, visit SladeShockTechnology.com. Slade Shock Technology, where knowledge and experience make the difference.
If you're looking for new or used shocks or repair for your shocks or bump stop kits, make sure to check out Slade Shock Technology. Eric Slade has experience from sprint cars to NASCARs. He was in shocks before it was trendy, and now that's the hot thing of racing. You need to get your shock program in shape. Visit www.sladeshocktechnology.com for everything they offer. Slade Shock Technology. Get with the program. Get your shocks in shape.
There's a buzz in the bleachers, a rumble on the pavement, and the sweet smell of sprint car speed is in the air as Muncie Racing brings you the fastest short track event on earth. Watch as the most daring lead butts in the land stand on the gas and rock it around one of the fastest half miles in America. There are records to be broken and racing royalty in the pits. It's a flat-out, foot-on-the-floor sprint car fiesta, and you can't find this brand of adrenaline-soaked action anywhere else.
Welcome back to TJ Sideways Live on RacesOnTheWeb.com. Horse race fans, don't forget a couple of races coming up. Sandusky Speedway, July 16th, the Open Wheel Extravaganza, Sprint Cars and Super Modifieds racing together. Also, a new advertiser to the show here, July the 3rd at Waynesfield Raceway Park, the Bob Reynolds Memorial, one of the area's biggest 360 sprint car shows. The purse, I believe, over $7,000 to win now, so that'll be a great show on July the 3rd. And speaking of 360 sprint car drivers, this driver that joins us on the line, Heather, he has 5 victories this year at 4 different racetracks all across the southern United States. And Derek Hager, I appreciate you taking time out of your physical fitness program to be able to join us tonight.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you having me on here.
You mentioned, we mentioned off the air, we were talking about, I just caught you when you're starting to work out. So, we'll start there actually, with this. How much, you know, working out do you do to prepare for the racing side of it? And do you think, how much of an advantage do you think that gives you?
Man, to be honest with you, I kind of kicked my butt the first race of the season at Plums, Mississippi. I really probably didn't work out as much as I should have during the off season. And, we went to Columbus and, track was pretty rough, and about halfway through it, man, I about fell out of the seat. We were leading the race, and you know, had a guy show me his nose, and then I got back up in the seat and took back off, and ended up lapping the whole field. And after that, I told myself, man, I gotta get back in the gym and get serious about this. And that next week, I was back in the gym, and it's unbelievable, and it made my racing a lot better. I'm a lot more comfortable in the car. I think it's helping out a lot.
And you are having a great season to date. 5 wins already this year. You won again last Saturday night. And, man, it seems like you are really on a roll right now. What did you guys do during the off season that kind of helped you get rolling good so early?
Man, it's just a combination of a lot of things. We had a real good year last year with 10 wins. It was a career best for us, you know, wins in a season. And we just carried the momentum over, you know, to this year. Started out like we did last year, won the first 2 races, and man, it's actually, I think this year's actually been a little bit stronger than last year was. We won 5 out of 7 races we've been in this year.
That's pretty amazing. Wow.
It's the crew, man. They've really put their heart and everything into this team, and it's really showing this year.
And you've won some USCS races, you won at I-30 and stuff, but then this weekend you've got West Memphis coming up with the Rock and Roll 50, big ASCS national race in your neck of the woods. How badly do you want to take that guitar out of West Memphis on Saturday night?
Oh man, it's been weighing on my mind pretty hard this week, so I'm trying to stay focused and look at the big picture, but to have that Gibson guitar from the Rock and Roll 50, that'll be pretty cool.
Now, you're kind of between I-30 and West Memphis there. Which one would you consider to be your home track if you had to pick one, I-30 or the ditch?
It'd be the ditch. I mean, West Memphis Riverside Speedway, it's, you know, 5 minutes from my house. So, I mean, we try to travel as much as we can. But, you know, sometimes you got to stay at home and support your local track because, you know, you don't know how long it's going to be open. If, you know, nobody's racing there, then it won't be open very long. So, you just gotta sometimes just stay at home, support the local track, and West Memphis is a pretty fun place to be.
Now, for a little while, you were traveling around doing a little bit of USAC racing. We saw Eldora doing the sprint car, and even did some of the RE Motorsports Silver Crown stuff. What pushed you in that direction, and how did you kind of work your way back to doing more of the wing sprint car stuff?
Well, my buddy Ricky Stenhouse Jr., he was racing with RE team in the Silver Crown division, and I went and helped on the road a couple of times with different drivers they had. And Chris, I guess, was, you know, just pretty impressed with what we had going on, and him and my stepdad were pretty good friends growing up, so he kind of helped us get our foot in the door, gave us a pretty good deal on the dirt Silver Crown car. And we had some good showings. We got the Hard Charger Award at Manzanita the last year they ran there for the Copper on Dirt. We started ninth and got up to fourth, and rookie mistake. I went up there and banged the wall going into one and packed the driver full of mud. And I think Levi got back by me, and I ended up finishing fifth. So we had some pretty good showings in the dirt Silver Crown stuff. Asphalt stuff, not so much. Back when I was racing all that stuff, I really didn't have a lot of asphalt, you know, experience, and really didn't have a lot of experience in a car, period. So, you know, times got tough, and there wasn't sponsorships there to help us stay on the road with the Silver Crown stuff. It got expensive, and you know, we just kind of ventured back off into the wing stuff, you know, focused on it, and you know, ever since we did that, we've had some pretty good success.
Now, when I think of the South and dirt track racing, late mile racing kind of comes to mind, except for like Riverside and I-30, those have been strongholds of sprint car racing. That's pretty much like the hub of the southern sprint car scene. How would you describe it to someone, what the sprint car scene is like around West Memphis there compared to maybe like a Fremont Attica circuit or IRA where they're traveling all over the place? What is it like down there in Memphis as a sprint car racer?
I mean, it's pretty big. A lot of people don't really realize, I guess, how much talent has really come out of the Memphis area. I mean, you got, you know, Sammy Swindell, Jason Sides, Jeff Swindell. I mean, you got, you know, Ricky Stenhouse Jr. I mean, there's a lot of good talent. You know, Hooker Hood, he's, you know, he's in the Hall of Fame now at Knoxville. So, you know, just to come out of this area and to be competitive with all these cars, I mean, because a lot of people underestimate the drivers in the Mid-South area nowadays. And you know, if you go out and ask Tony Bruce Jr. or anybody like that that runs ASCS, when they come to town, it's probably the toughest competition they have on the local, you know, standard as far as local drivers racing with ASCS guys. Because, man, we mix it up pretty good with ASCS guys when we show up.
Derek Hager joining us on the line. So what is the plan for the rest of the season? Obviously, you're going to West Memphis this weekend, but where are we going to be seeing you out at throughout the 2014 season?
We're just going to run whatever's feasible for us. I mean, right now we don't have any sponsors. You know, last year we ran the USCS national deal and won the points with it, and it kind of weighed on us a little bit. We didn't get to go run the 360 Nationals at Knoxville and, you know, a couple other things that we would really like to do. So this year we're just going to step back and see if, you know, we can get some help. We're going to try to travel as much as we can, I guess as much as my pocket will let me. We plan on going and doing the 360 Nationals at Knoxville and, you know, Short Track Nationals. Just try to hit some of the big shows that you know, pay some good money. I mean, we've proven ourselves. We can run with the good, you know, the best of the best. So this year we're just going to travel around and see what we can do.
What about 410 racing? Is there any opportunities opening up there to maybe put you in a 410 maybe for some outlaw stuff or some other things?
I mean, I'd be open to it. I mean, I don't have a problem running 410. Last year, the year before, I went up to Fremont and drove Pete Groves' car. And, that, you know, that's kind of my first time really sitting behind a real good 410, something that had a lot of power. And it kind of took a little bit to get used to. I don't have a lot of 410 experience. You know, last year we left Knoxville early because we were having motor problems in the 360, or year before last, left Knoxville early, having motor issues. We went down to Peavey to run the Ironman 55 with our 360, and we qualified near the back and ended up driving from the back of the heat race, missing the transfer by one, and then driving from 10th or 12th in the B main and finishing second, making the Ironman 55 with our 360. And you know, it just shows how strong our team is. We, you know, got rained out, so we had to go back later in the year and run. We put our little dash 12 headed 410 motor in, and just wasn't as, you know, comparable with the outlaw guys. So I like to see if what we could do with a real good motor combination with the car we got now, and see if we can go mix it up with the guys and wear outlaws.
Now, during the day, you're one of the many people that are in the hottest part of the sprint car industry. It seems like the shock trade, and you for Racing Eclipse are working on shocks and stuff throughout the week. How much time is spent with your team, just in particular, getting shocks fine-tuned, or once you get the package, do you not have to work on it quite as much?
Man, we've really got something figured out. You know, I work at RE Enterprise in Memphis, rebuilding shocks for the guys, me and Justin Carver. You know, I've been working there since, I was 11th grade, and I graduated in 2009. So, it's been a stepping stone. I mean, it's a lot of learning, a lot of time's gone into it, and we've really come a long way, and it's kind of shown. I mean, we had the top two in the 410 class at Knoxville, Delansky and Terry McCurl, last weekend, and a guy won with our shocks in the 305 division as well. We got Brady Bacon on them. We got, you know, a lot of people from, you know, United States, people in Australia, and we're having a lot of success with it. And, it, you know, that's really helped my program as well, too, because I get to talk to all these guys and, you know, kind of figure out what's, you know, what they got on their mind, and I'll try to mix it up in some of my stuff we've got a good combination going on, and I try to share it as much as I can with the guys at the shop and with the guys that are, you know, our customers. I mean, they call and, you know, they'll ask for me or Justin. I'll, you know, they find out that I work there, and they'll ask me what would I run, because obviously we've gotten something figured out right now. So hopefully we can keep it up and keep the customers happy.
Well, Derek, I really appreciate you taking time out to join us, and best of luck. And who knows, maybe we'll give you a little bit of karma so you can have that guitar hanging on the wall by the end of the weekend.
I sure hope so, bud.
All right. Thank you. Derek Hagar joining us on the line. We're going to take another break. When we come back, we're going to recap the sideshow at Crystal Motor Speedway. Listening to TJ Slideways Live here on RacesOnTheWeb.com.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at engineproparts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
If you're looking to add a little edge to your racing program, repair your engine, maybe even look into a new engine, Bailey Racing Engines of Coldwater, Michigan is a fine supporter of TJSlideways.com. Visit them online at BaileyEngines.com or call them at 517-278-8488.
Tired of having black headers that rust and wear out too quickly? Then you need to get some Rocket Headers. Rocket Header produces exhaust for 360 and 410 sprint car engines, dirt and pavement, with mufflers and turnouts. Stainless steel construction, TIG welding, and polished finish make Rocket Headers the best value in the open wheel racing exhaust market. For more information on where to buy Rocket Headers, visit their official website at rocketheaders.com.
All-Star Performance is a manufacturer and supplier of racing and high-performance auto parts, accessories, and specialty tools. From quarter midgets to sprint cars, All-Star Performance has all of the accessories you need. To find a dealer near you, visit allstarperformance.com.
TJ Buffenbarger here for the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa. The Hall of Fame continues to promote the future of sprint car racing by preserving its past. The museum is located in Knoxville, Iowa, and is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. On race nights, the museum will stay open until 7 o'clock. Don't forget, race fans, one of the best ways that you can support the Hall of Fame is buying a membership. They start at just $25, and a basic membership gets you and a guest free admission to the museum and a 10% discount off in the museum store. Also, check with the Hall of Fame for suite tickets on the second and third floor for the 2013 Knoxville season. You can get information on all of this by going to SprintCarHOF.com, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame.
Blade Shock Technology is a cutting-edge shock bump stop technology company located in Northwest Ohio. Specializing in sprint car racing, new and used sales, service, and repair, Eric Slade and his crew have over 30 years' experience working with shocks, from the short tracks to the super speedways. For more information, visit SladeShockTechnology.com. Slade Shock Technology, where knowledge and experience make the difference.
If you're looking for new or used shocks or repair for your shocks or bump stop kits, make sure to check out Slade Shock Technology. Eric Slade has experience from sprint cars to NASCARs. He was in shocks before it was trendy, and now that's the hot thing of racing. You need to get your shock program in shape. Visit www.sladeshocktechnology.com for everything they offer. Slade Shock Technology. Get with the program. Get your shocks in shape.
There's a buzz in the bleachers, a rumble on the pavement, and the sweet smell of sprint car speed is in the air as Muncie Racing brings you the fastest short track event on earth. Watch as the most daring lead foots in the land stand on the gas and rock it around one of the fastest half miles in America. There are records to be broken and racing royalty in the pits. It's a flat-out, foot-on-the-floor sprint car fiesta, and you can't find this brand of adrenaline-soaked action anywhere else.
Welcome back to TJ Sideways Live here at racesontheweb.com. And don't forget, fans, that later this season on May the 25th, the Michigan Traditional Sprints, brought to you by Lane Automotive, will be on racesontheweb.com with free live video and audio to cap off your Memorial Day weekend. That's the Sunday of Memorial Day weekend, May 25th, live sprint cars right here on racesontheweb.com. And speaking of Crystal, that's where we were last Saturday, our latest venture out to the racetrack. I went to the Crystal Motor Speedway. In my mind, there are three openings to my racing season. There's always the first race I go to, the first race I get to go to at Eldora, because it's usually an early April show, and then the first show up here, which is traditionally the Crystal Sod opener. And once again, it was cold, just bitterly awful, bone-chilling cold. And unfortunately, that's the weather the fans had to contend with. I think it did keep the crowd down a little bit. It was still a nice crowd there at Crystal on Saturday, but I guarantee you that wind just didn't let up and probably scared a couple of people off. But really encouraging to walk in the pit area and see some new faces that we were going to have audio from, and before our digital audio player died. That's a little different story for a different day. So no audio from Crystal, even though we did a lot of interviews. So we'll recap you what went on down there. We had some new faces. Kyle Pitts, all the way from Florida. He is going to be racing here all season, living in the Adrian, Michigan area. But he's from Florida. He's a Top Gun sprint car driver, making his way up to a injected 360 level, ASCS level series. He's going to run with Sod primarily. He's going to run some Lima Land, some NRA stuff as well. So he joined the party. Also, that was Kyle Sauter's first start in the CH Motorsports car, and kind of had an ugly night. He got caught up in a crash that we'll talk about a little bit later. Just tipped over, got the wing and stuff. They pushed the car back to the pits. They didn't actually know how damaged the car was, so there was nothing out of the trailer yet. When Kyle got back to the trailer to get the car worked on, that crew thrashed, got the car back out for the restart, and he came all the way back up the third. So that was pretty amazing to see what Kyle and the CH Motorsports team will do. They'll get some wins before the year's out, and a lot of people ask why CH might be coming up here to race. It's because that their primary sponsor for this year, Allegra Printing and Imaging, the division out of Traverse City, Michigan, is the primary sponsor on the car. So that's something a little different for them. But they want to obviously have some local races in there. So we'll be seeing Kyle doing quite a bit of 360 stuff with the CH team around here, it appears. Track started off a bit heavier than normal. I had a couple crashes and hot laps with Marcus Huffer and Ralph Brackenberry, both on opposite ends of the racetrack, having problems in hot laps, and kind of held up the show a little bit. But Crystal kept punching through, got everything going for us. The heat race is pretty good. Feature was real good. Rookie Chase Ridenour is on the pole, and Ridenour is really a heralded microsprint driver. So he's going to be a great driver, but and he had a bit of difficulty on the start on Saturday night, got sideways on the first lap, and that's what collected Kyle Sauter and a few other people. Eventually took out also Brett Mann, who suffered damage in the crash and actually was disqualified for his crew working on the car while it was on the track. But turns out that car sustained too much damage. They wouldn't have been able to continue anyway, actually talking to him after the fact, but they all agreed afterwards that was the proper call to be made. You cannot work on the car on the racetrack. It was disqualified. And some other new faces that look good. Doug Zimmerman, first sprint on dirt start in many years, looked real sporty. Won his heat race, was in contention, led for about maybe 100 feet down the back straightaway, and then blew it off the end of turn three. Talking to Doug after the race, he didn't remember the back straightaway being that short. he just didn't time his entry quite in right and cooked it right off the top side. But came back still nearly at a top, or he actually did have a top 10 finish, so it was good for him. And he looked sporty all night. And as did our guest last week, Ryan Rule. Ryan was doing a great job and was picking his way through lap traffic. Then he got by our buddy Gavin Hunyadi, who was fast right in Ryan's line. And it's one of those deals where it probably should Rural did a nice inside outside move to get by Hunyadi eventually, but that needed to happen a couple laps later, because all of a sudden, as soon as he got by Hunyadi, you could hear the Jaws theme starting to catch on, and Dustin Daggett caught him. And pretty much when Daggett got by him, Rule really did run him hard Was keeping right up with him in lap traffic, but then there was a caution flag, and that was pretty much his undoing. And a lot of times you might say, well, a caution might save you because they send the lap cars around now, and you get to be right behind whoever is in second, but that 2M car takes off so well on restarts. That's something that Daggett works on as a driver and also with his equipment so much. He's still pretty much, from what I can see, the best one in the series on restart still, and took right off, and that's all she wrote from there. Now, what happened after the races, a lot of people might have written and read earlier in the week that Rule did get disqualified for being light at the scales. However, that decision was altered today. Rule has been given the second position for that. And the reason was is it's hard to keep racing officials from season to season, especially when it's a hobby series like this. They're hobbyists just like the racers to some degree. And how can I put this nicely? It's easy to get burned out quickly. So it's really difficult to keep these people. So there were several people in new positions on Saturday night, including at the scales. And the reason, you know, the scales are quite often something that people do start out on when you're a racing official, because it's pretty much a yay or nay, and for the most part, you're dealing with about the same 30 cars all the time, and everyone's usually right there, it's pretty much an automatic deal. It was just a mix-up in communications on Saturday, and it didn't get conveyed at the right time. It was way too late when it was conveyed that it might be light. They only had one shot at the scale, so they only had the one number to go off of. And at that point, everyone had been back in their pit area for a while, so you couldn't go back and weigh stuff. It was a really difficult situation for everyone involved. And I think it sounds weird, but I think both calls were actually the right call. I think the right call at the racetrack was made because, in all honesty, you have the one number to go off, and because you have to have, your officials have to have some teeth. You can't just have them roll over and just go at the track. You got to stick by a decision. And if, you know, numbers don't lie, if that's the one thing they are able to get out of the scales, and that was the only one time they were weighed, that's the only number they had to go off of. Now, breaking down the process, if you know, after the fact, you know, obviously sprints on dirt officials feel the process needs a little bit of enhancement, and there's going to be some changes this week coming to that process with the weigh-in and such. I think that's probably the right call to make that after the race, because it's just, unfortunately, it's just a really difficult situation the way it happened. Should it have happened in the first place? Probably not. There probably should have been a little more training involved in this case and a little more instruction on what to do in case somebody doesn't make weight. And that has been conveyed now, and that's that situation has been rectified. So I really think going forward it's not going to be a big problem. But one thing race teams really need to learn now is it's hard to keep good racing officials. It's really hard to keep people that are willing to do stuff during the off season, show up early, set up scales, and just even helping out in the pit area. It generally, it's fun about 60% of the time. And that 60% is a lot of fun. It's a really fun gig. That other 40% will just make it so miserable you'll never want to do it again. I mean, I even just announcing on a tour, and I did it with the Sprints on Dirt for several years. You go, you're seeing the same people every night, after night, and it's kind of like living with someone. You just eventually get on each other's nerves, and by the end of it, I was more than happy to be done with it. And now I go back into the capacity I do now with the website only. You know, TJSideways.com, occasionally go to races. I have a great time. They're among the greatest racers to work with. But, you know, what I found is basically you work with the same racers every week, you're going to probably get the same thing. But the blow-ups and just the way anything that goes wrong is generally conveyed by, and it's not as a whole, but let's say there's like maybe half the teams that have somebody on them that is probably, when something goes wrong, is not going to be the most pleasant person to deal with. And that, you know, that right there, just, it grades on you. And with social media now and a lot of the other things that are involved with racing, it grinds on you even more. You don't even get a break from it. It's there. And if you read it, it just pounds and pounds and pounds on you. And it just comes to no end. And that's why a lot of these series have a trouble with officiating or keeping good officials, because the race teams burn them out. I mean, they just can't keep them because the race teams will just burn them out. They'll, you know, whether it's disrespect or whatever, or just, you know, general lots of complaining. I mean, at some point when you're a racing official, the best thing you can hope for is not everyone gets home safe and you don't get yelled at all throughout the whole night. I mean, that's the best possible outcome you can hope for as a race official. And that people show up to watch so the promoter's not mad at you to add even more to this. So, I mean, those three things combined together are the best possible outcome for that person. And keep that in mind when something doesn't go right. I thought Ryan himself handled it very well. Some of the people that weren't involved with it that were upset by it were just about, I mean, I was a little disappointed, I guess, because I feel like the officials weren't even given a chance to really rectify this away from the racetrack. And this is a problem that needed to be rectified away from the racetrack. In the moment, there wasn't going to be a right call. It's something that needed to be analyzed a bit more, make sure that the problem doesn't occur in the future. And that's the biggest problem I had with it, is a lot of the people, not even associated with the rules team, and not even associated with the series, really being critical of this. And it's okay to be upset and go, well, that's a bad call, but I think too many people take it way past that and make it way too personal. And it all got rectified essentially, and it's going to be rectified going into the future, but you don't even get a chance to fix that. And it's still, you know, a lot of human beings, and there's human error and everything, and that just happens. Not every call is going to be the right one. Not every call is going to be a good call. It's like it is in every sport. And all my years of racing, especially at Sideshow, I can only remember a couple of calls I was just, as a fellow official, shaking my head at, going, wow, I don't really get that. And they were all explainable. They were just, you know, outlandish calls. But besides that, I mean, they're the hardest working bunch of people at the racetrack. And they get little or no pay for it. And there's no glory. There's no victory lane. There's no kid wanting your autograph at the end of the night. There's none of that. In fact, quite often when I'd be announced, I'd be up till 3 a.m. typing a story even at that point. So no one else on the crew had to do it. It's just a matter of, it's a very low glory job where the best you can hope for at the end of the night is not to get yelled at. And I think a lot of race teams around here and even around the country could make that process a lot more pleasant for these people. If we did, maybe a lot more of them would stay involved longer and we'd have better experienced officials around to be able to do the jobs. The race teams don't burn them out so fast. So that's my take on everything with Crystal. Congratulations to Dustin Daggett. What more can we say about this kid? I mean, a lot of people get honest about saying, well, you'd write about Dustin all the time. Well, when you win 10, 12 of the features around the 25 every year, it's kind of inevitable. In fact, it's almost hard from our angle because we run out of things to write about. I mean, there's always so many things you can write about the kid, and he just does amazing work, and you know, there's not much more to be said. Crystal is one of the venues. There's probably 3 or 4 venues where he's exceptionally tough, and that's one of them. Crystal is pretty neat. That tour is going to go on to, with the Sprint Thunder, to the new I-96 3/8 mile, which, by the way, is getting rave reviews from everyone. So if you want to check out the new 3/8 mile track at I-96 on Saturday night, that will be a good chance to do it. And from what I've heard from the practice sessions and even the first race they had on Friday night, everybody seems to like it. And the way the 3/8 is laid out now, they actually cut the inside of 3 and 4 of the big track. It uses turns 1 and 2 of the old half mile. And the front stretch comes all the way out to the front stretch wall. There's no kind of goofiness. And it's nice and wide. It looks like it's going to be very racy. It's got a couple tight spots from what the drivers told me, but I think a lot of that might have had to do with practice day during the daytime. But all got rave reviews from last Friday's race. I'm really looking forward to seeing what might happen there. Also, locally here, Spartan Speedway opens on Friday night. They have their sprint car program, Butler Motor Speedway, on Saturday. But then you look on the outside, man, there are some seriously big races. World of Outlaws at Eldora Speedway, they've got that going on. Boss is a 5,000-win non-wing sprint car show at Fremont. The KISS Series has a bunch of races this weekend. USAC's going to Nebraska. We got the Rock and Roll 50 down at West Memphis. A lot of big things going on. Racing season really cranking up, even though it might not feel like it outside. It's still in the 40s and dipping into the 30s. In fact, it was 38 degrees when I left Crystal on Saturday. But keep bundled up and try to head out to the racetrack this weekend. It should be a great weekend for racing. And that's going to wrap up this edition of TJ Slideways Live here on RacesOnTheWeb.com. I want to thank Dave Darwin and Derek Hager for taking the time out to join us this evening, and all of you for listening in, whether you're listening live or on the podcast. Thank you for tuning us in. We do this every Monday night at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern, or you can download on demand, and make sure to keep listening because we were getting some great feedback. Seems like more and more people are checking out the live show, checking out the podcast every week, and we really enjoy doing it. Who knows? Maybe if enough of you do this, we'll be able to take it on the road and maybe go somewhere near you sometime soon. Thank you and good night.
Thank you for listening to this edition of TJ Slideways Live.